Hey, 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 everyone. Welcome back to the Comic-Con podcast. It is Justin, a.k.a. Nemesis Prime. You are listening to us on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Anchor FM. Thank you guys so much for supporting us. This is episode 13. Unlucky or lucky, who knows? But you know what? Tonight, I got nobody with me. It's just myself. Zach's still doing his Multiverse of Madness tour, so you're just going to get my voice. So you know what? This may be actually a little bit of a quicker show because I don't have anybody to talk to, so it's really just me tonight. So, but you know, we're always going to go around the world in the world of comic book collecting, community, TV, movie news, as well as what are we currently reading. So let's kind of get right into the community section. Of course, if you guys always know, you can send us DMs, emails to the Comic-Con podcast at gmail.com. Or of course, you can follow us on our Instagram at the Comic-Con podcast. Send us some direct messages there. If you have anything, any type of questions you want to ask us, of course, that's where it can be found. I do have one question. Unfortunately, I completely forgot who sent it to me, but I did write it down. And the question really was more so for me, obviously, than Zach when I get into it. But the question was, if I could have any variant and money was not an option, what would be my book? And that is an absolute great question. If you guys follow me on Instagram, you guys know I am a variant whore. I love collecting those variants out there. Tons of them have been dropping for Star Wars, High Republic. Tons of them have been dropping for even Batman 108, which is like mind-blowing for this Miracle Molly book. But of course, let's get into the question. So if there was an issue that money did not matter for me, now, I would probably say Spider-Gwen, the Greg Land variant, but I already have that one, so I'm fine with that. But you know what? I kind of want to take this a little bit further. I kind of want to kind of divulge into maybe throwing it into the big three companies. So for DC Comics, I would like to get, and this is the only issue that I am missing from Batman's original run from volume one, which went from number one to 713. I have 100 to 713 complete with all like the second printings, third printings, the 1 in 10 variants, the 1 in 25 variants. So the one I would probably get is the Batman 608. This is the RRP variant, and this one is a retailer's roundtable program that they did for DC Comics when this one came out back in 2002. Just an awesome cover. Jim Lee doing his man Batman with Hush. You got Harley Quinn on the cover. Huntress is on there. I know Catwoman is on there too. This is a great book. It is super rare to find, and I had the opportunity and I should have bought it. I think it was on a Keep It Thorough auction last year in 2020. I think you had it for around, I don't know, it was like $1,000 to $2,000, I want to say, and I really should have bought it because it's the only book that I was missing from my Batman volume one from 100 to the end. Now Marvel, now there is a great J. Scott Campbell variant that I am absolutely missing, and I know my man Archangel on YouTube, Bampow Comics, he's got one, and I gotta say, it is a killer cover. It's a Black Panther number one. This is the sketch cover. It's got, of course, Shiari right on the front cover. In the middle, she's colored. And on the outside, it's all black and white. Now, this thing is crazy expensive. He's got it signed in a CGC 9.8 by J. Scott Campbell. And he's asking $7,500, which is a great deal. Because let me tell you, the cheapest one on eBay is like $10,000. Blows my mind how hard it is to find this book. So I would be looking for that one, I would say, on the Marvel side. And last but not least, Indie Image Comics. Here's another retailer roundtable program variant. Saga number one from Fiona Staples. This book, I am telling you, has gone through the roof with pricing. And I think it's just the market in general. This book, probably I should have bought years ago. You could get it from like $500 to $1,000 to $1,500. Now you can't even touch this book under $3,000. Last one sold March 5th, 2021 for $3,000 on the nose in an auction, 30 bids. So that is a book that I absolutely love. I love that series. Definitely want to try to find it at some point. You know what? I'll probably end up, once conventions kind of start happening again, I may have to bring some books to a show and do a trade with some cash. But those are my three variants. If money was not an option, I would definitely get those. So the Saga one, the Black Panther one, the J. Scott Campbell sketch, and of course the Batman 608 to round out my volume one, working on my Batmans is always a fun time. So let's move on to, since we don't really have, I didn't have anything else in the community. And again, guys, this is what it's all about. We want to bring in people to the community. We want questions. We'd love to answer them. Of course, if you have listened to episode 12, I had Juan, the comic goon from the Comic Book Fiend Club, on here. It was really fun to just chop it up with him. But now let's kind of move on to some TV and movie news. So what do we have this week in the TV and movie news? So, of course, I'm recording this on March 31st of 2021. I just finished watching Godzilla vs. King Kong in theaters. And let me tell you, if you get a chance to watch that movie, do not, and I repeat, do not watch it your first time on a TV. I don't care how big your TV is. I have a 65-inch TV. I would not watch that movie the first time in my downstairs man cave. I had to go to the theaters, and it was awesome. If you guys are old school Godzilla or King Kong fans, that is the way to watch that. Man, that battleship scene is a good 15 minutes of them fighting for the first time. I mean, I'm not going to spoil it and tell you who's in it, who's not in it, but that battle is epic. And like the director said, there is an absolute winner at the end of the movie. And I'm really happy that they at least did a winner, because that's what he said he was going to do. It wasn't going to be like a walking away type of thing. So definitely go out and check out the movie for Godzilla vs. King Kong. That's the first one up for that we have on our WB, Warner Brothers. So it's on HBO Max as well. But you know what? Like I said, definitely go out there and watch it in the movie theaters if your movie theaters are open somewhere across the world or across the country, the globe. I know we have some international listeners as well. So moving on to some other movie news. Another Warner Brothers project, Mortal Kombat. Now, Mortal Kombat was set to come out on April 16th, which is only like 2 weeks away, but they're actually moving it back a week. So it's being delayed until April 23rd, which I'm guessing really they're kind of giving room for Godzilla vs. King Kong, a little bit more time at the box office, a little bit more time on HBO Max to kind of, you know, get that people who are downloading it, who are really, really want to watch it. So I think that's really interesting. I'm still hyped for this movie. I know what they're saying is, if you guys have seen the trailer for Mortal Kombat, the opening scene is the whole birth of Scorpion. So what you've seen in the trailer, when you see the character with the two ninjas that come up to his house, that's supposed to be the opening scene. And it's kind of like a good 10 minutes, they said, of him just kicking ass. So, and again, that is another movie from the Warner Brothers, which is soon going to be on HBO Max, which is being delayed. But you know what? At least we're going to get it. And you know what it is? It's now we're starting to get into that nice movie trend. So we'll have King Kong versus Godzilla's out. I'm sorry, Godzilla versus King Kong, because whoever wants to win. Then you have your Mortal Kombat. But you know what? There's another movie that it's crazy. There's no trailer for it. And yet the book is skyrocketing constantly, which is Venom, Let There Be Carnage, has been delayed yet again. Why? I don't know. But you know what, guys and girls out there? It's only been delayed a week. So it was supposed to come out on September 16th or 17th. It got pushed back. It's now on September 24th, 2021. Let There Be Carnage is still coming out, hopefully, right? But the book is crazy. The book is going insane. Amazing Spider-Man number 361. I'm telling you, that book was so populated and flooded the market. I used to sell that book at like $200 to $300, 9.8. I was like, there's no way this book is going to be more than, let's say, $800, $900 tops, you know, when this thing comes out. But man, this thing is breaking records constantly. This has been a four-figure book for the past 3 months. And this book is ending in like the 1200s to 1300s. Last sold on eBay in a 9.8. Two best offers. One was at 1500 best offer and a 1750 or best offer. Now, I don't know what that one went for, but this book is untouchable and there's no trailer. So I just don't understand why we haven't gotten a trailer for Venom, Let There Be Carnage yet. God knows when it's coming. Maybe we'll see it with Black Widow. I don't know, but it is a Sony project. So who's really to say when the next Sony movie that's big enough to come out to actually show this trailer? But you know, we'll get it soon, guys, right? So moving on next, that is all the TV and movie news. But wait, no, actually, I want to do something different this time around since it's myself. So, of course, we all know, I'm sure we'll wait for Zach and myself to kind of discuss Falcon and Winter Soldier. The first two episodes are out. I don't really want to get into that one too much. But you know what I've actually been rewatching, and I actually binged it this past week, is Titan Season 2. Now, I haven't seen Titan Season 2 since it ended in 2019. Not really forgot about it. I've been keeping track of what's happening with Season 3. Like, we're going to get Blackfire. We're getting Red Hood. We're getting Starfire in her costume. A lot more is changing. And I think the issue, and this is kind of a spoiler, so anybody who's listening who has not seen Titan Season 2 or really even Titan Season 1, skip over this section. But I kind of want to get into the DC Titans TV show. And I probably should have brought on someone who's a big TV DC guy like myself. But I kind of want to break this down. Now, I rewatched Season 2. Of course, the big baddie in Season 2 is Deathstroke. Now, I feel like they did the same thing in Arrow when they brought on Deathstroke to be the villain. I feel like that was the height of the Arrowverse in the CW for Arrow. That is just the pinnacle of all the villains that he had. Now, with the Titans, you're bringing in Deathstroke because, of course, he's the longest running villain for them. He's the best villain for them. But I feel like what's going to happen come Season 3? Are we going to get the downslope of the villains? Like, Blackfire is a great villain. I think it's going to be nice. But I think Deathstroke was just, that's what it is. It hits that high. It's that pinnacle. That's all we are. But again, let's kind of get into the show itself. So again, Season 1 was only 10 episodes. We kind of went through it where we were learning about all the different Titans characters, old and new. You have Garth, of course, Beast Boy. You have Rachel, Raven. You have Starfire. You have Hawk and Dove. You have Jason Todd. And of course, you have Dick Grayson. Now, we've kind of done this a little bit before where we've gone into, especially on our Justice League, we kind of went into each of the characters and kind of talked about them and their strengths and their weaknesses and what they've kind of done for the series. So now in Season 2, you get a lot more of each of the characters, their learning ability. So you have Dick Grayson. If the end of Season 1, Dick burns the Robin costume, and he's pretty much just a character in this. He's kind of learning from his mistakes, what he did in the past, and it's something that irks at him the entire season from episode 1 all the way to the final episode, episode 12. And of course, he finally becomes Nightwing. Again, if you're still listening to this, I'm hoping you watch it because, of course, he was going to become Nightwing. He's no longer Robin. Jason Todd is Robin. Jason Todd, let's move on to him. Now, in the first season, we only got one episode of him, and he makes a great appearance and an amazing appearance because I'm a huge Jason Todd fan, huge Red Hood fan. Now, he is someone who I think the best thing that happens to him in Season 2 is when he falls and almost dies. What's really interesting is there's a quote that Deathstroke actually says to him when he gets caught and he's being held hostage by him. Deathstroke says something to him along the lines of, "Death leads to purification." And that's something that Jason, of course, we know reading the comic books, we always see Jason. You know, he went from being a Robin, he died, he came back, he became Red Hood. So I'm wondering if what happened to him in Season 2 is something that kind of leads to his purification, because he struggles with that in Season 2. Now, what's really interesting is this was actually just posted on heroichollywood.com. We are seeing some teaser shots of Karen Walters' Red Hood. So In Twitter that has been posted in the Toronto filming, you're actually seeing wanted posters, dead or alive, for a lot of these Titans. Now it shows Red Hood rising. It's just his hood. It's just, you know, blacked out mask, and you just see the white eyes. But you can see it on Twitter. It says Red Hood rising in DC Comics. Wanted posters have been spotted in the city, so they're currently, of course, filming it everywhere. Now, what are we going to see? I'm really curious to see some of these characters. So the other character poster is, of course, Blackfire, because she's going to be our big baddie. You've got Connor. You've got Crypto, which is a lot of fun. You've got Dick Grayson, of course, as Nightwing. You have Starfire, and you have Garth as Beast Boy. And you can find those on heroichollywood.com under the Red Hood Titans article. Moving on next to some of the other characters. So Rachel, who, of course, is Raven, first season, didn't really like her a lot, But man, she really grew on me in season two. She matures in her powers. She really is becoming into her own as far as the Raven character we all know and love from Teen Titans, Teen Titans Go, all the different iterations that she's been in. Next up, Starfire. I think Coriander is a great character. Season one, everybody was just like, who's this hooker that's dressed up in this purple outfit with the red curly hair? Nobody really liked her, but you know what? She was badass. She brought it. She had the powers that brought it. And I think with DC, the HBO Max, I think they have a lot more money to really show off what they can do in terms of like CGI in that show. Moving on to other characters in season two, we have Donna Troy, Wonder Girl. Awesome. It's like watching Wonder Woman, but not on the big screen and it not being Gal Gadot. She's got the lasso. She's kicking ass. She fights Deathstroke. She almost gets killed. There's nothing more that you could say about her. She is a badass, and I cannot wait for her to show up, hopefully, in season three, because, of course, she dies. Ooh, I told you. I'm sorry. It happens. Next up, probably my two favorite characters, Hawk and Dove. I never enjoyed Hawk and Dove growing up in the DC comics, but you know what? They are some badass characters. Just their outfits is really cool just to have. Seeing Dove in action is fucking phenomenal. Let me tell you, Mina Kelly as Dove is badass. She is hot as hell. And I tell all my friends, man, you got to check this. You got to check this chick out. And of course, Hawk. It's funny. Every time I see Alan Ritchson, I still think of him as Aquaman from Smallville. It's really tough not to really watch him and be like, man, he used to be on Smallville and he was Aquaman and now he's Hawk. But you know what? It's such a great show. I think the entire season is a very mature show. I never, everybody is like all about laughter and jokes, and that's what the Marvel thing is. But man, when they curse and it's just like weird because you don't expect it to hear, it really comes off like it's a serious show. Like the first time when they find out that Deathstroke is alive, or Deathstroke is there, like Hawk's like, holy shit. And you're like, holy shit. He just said that. Holy shit. So it's just a really cool aspect. And he's, you know, dealing with his own issues, just like Dove's dealing with her own issues throughout the series. But those two characters are like one of my favorites. I'm so glad that they brought them in because they're really more of the echelon. That's the word that I'm looking for, of the DC Titans. You know, we all know those older characters back from when they first started in the late 60s and 70s. And then you had the more George Perez, those type of Titans, the Marv Wolfman era. But you never really saw like Hawk and Dove. So to really bring them into the mix is really interesting. And especially, I think those are characters that you really don't ever see as much as they would get, because mostly Teen Titans has always been Raven, Starfire, Robin, Beast Boy. And then they always throw in a mix. You know, you get your Kid Flash or Cassie Sidmark as the other one, other Wonder Girl, you should say. But I think they all really gain a lot of momentum in this season, season two. And I cannot believe I binge watched it in a week. 12 episodes. I did it in less than 6 days, and I've been talking to the guys in Lords of the Long Box. Every time I'm watching it, I'm just like watching season two of Titans again. It's so amazing, and it's absolutely one of the best shows out there. If you have not checked that out, I highly recommend running through season one and season two. And if you haven't seen it in a while, hell, go back and rewatch it, because it was a great series. And I cannot wait for it to continue on HBO Max for season three whenever it decides to finally, you know, come out. Like I said, they are still, they're filming in Toronto, so it's coming out soon. According to Full Circle Cinema that I'm reading right now, it says that Titan season three is reportedly premiering on HBO Max in July. So that is only 4 months away, actually less than 4 months away. So hopefully we'll see a lot more stuff coming from that after season two. I'm really excited for season three. So moving on next, because it's a very DC heavy week, Suicide Squad trailer. We talked about this on episode 12, what we were going to get. And now we'll talk about it post and what we saw. Now, it's funny. If you guys and girls out there listen to Zach and I talk about our Justice League review, and I talked about an Easter egg where Steppenwolf kind of uses this mechanical looking spider thing, which I feel like was Starro. And we even said that there's no way that Starro could ever be on the big screen. Well, I was wrong. Starro looks like the big baddie who's going to be in the Suicide Squad because he's in a TV. You see him on a big screen TV. You see his full body. And then in the very next scene, you kind of see one of his appendages. I can't believe we're getting Starro. It's unbelievable. As a villain. Now, I don't know if he's going to be the main villain, but he's at least in the movie. And of course, if anybody wants to run out there and buy his first appearance, it's of course very hard. It's Brave and the Bold number 28. It's also the first appearance of the Justice League. So it's not like a book that you can kind of just run out there and hope to buy and flip, because that's not going to happen. But I was wrong about Justice League Zack Snyder and my review of saying that we'll never see Starro. But let's kind of get into some of the characters and what we saw in that. Of course, we see a little bit more of a dynamic of all the characters, because if you guys recall last year, we did see a behind the scenes trailer. We also saw a characters trailer that kind of showed off each of the actor or actresses that was playing the character and what their DC comic book version looked like, and then what James Gunn has now done for them. Now, I think the biggest one and the talk of the town and everybody is kind of discussing is King Shark. I talked about it. I was going to be excited of King Shark because he's been on CW's Flash. Of course, the budget on CW's Flash is one thing. He still looks cool, I think, and see, he still looks very menacing. You have King Shark in the Harley Quinn animated, which he's fucking hilarious. And now we're finally getting him in a movie, and he's wearing basically what looks like board shorts or, you know, beach shorts, whichever you want, whatever you want to call a bathing suit. But of course, he's being voiced by Sylvester Stallone, which I think is awesome because James Gunn has kind of been able to bring in these actors to play these characters who you don't see. And he could be like the next Rocket Raccoon or I Am Groot. All you see him in the trailer is ripping some guy in half. You see him raise his hand and say, "Hand." And then Amanda Waller says, "Yes, that's a hand." I think he's going to be really funny because in my head, I can see Sly Stallone talking and being funny, not on screen. So he's definitely someone that I think you guys can definitely find a book. Get out there and find his first appearance. They're still littered in boxes. I know it hit our top 10. If you watch Lords of the Long Box cover price this past week, week ending actually 3/20/22, he actually was in our top 10 list for Superboy number 9. He's also in Superboy 0, but I'm sure you can go out there and find that book. I did just see that the Superboy 9 DC Universe logo, which is the rarer of all of them because there's the rec, there's the newsstand, and there's the DC logo, just sold for like $800. So someone went out and spent $800 on King Shark's first appearance, but the rare DC logo variant. Now that's crazy. But kind of moving on to some of the other characters. Of course, we got Harley Quinn, Margot Robbie, probably going to kill it again as Harley Quinn. I think she's fun. I think she embodies the character 100%. I'm so happy that we have Jay Courtney back as Captain Boomerang. Jay Courtney's a great actor. I think his appearances in this movie could really shine, and maybe we even may get him in The Flash. He could show up again, and it's kind of like just the villain that Flash has to take down, but not really be like the main villain. So hopefully he'll do well. Moving on next, we have the returning actor and actresses who were playing Amanda Waller and Rick Flagg. So that's really good to see them. So at least they're keeping it. Of course, it's not like it's a brand new movie that James Gunn is creating. It is a sequel to the one that David Ayers did a while back, which is really nice to see. And of course, there's no Deadshot. So who do we have replacing Deadshot but Idris Elba as Bloodsport? Now, he's a great actor. He's done a ton of things. Of course, he was Heimdall in the Thor series. He was also in The Dark Tower and all the different other great movies that he's been in. So I think Bloodsport's going to be a character that you guys could definitely, if you want to run out and find his first appearance, it's very cheap. I believe it's in Adventure Comics or Adventures of Superman issue. I've seen it in back issue bins. He's someone who could, you know, maybe stick around if they end up doing another Suicide Squad movie. So, you know, go check that out. Next up, as far as characters who kind of were very prominent in the trailer, well, you have Peacemaker, John Cena. Now, I was talking to my brother about this, and, you know, he he saw the trailer and he was just like, God, that just looked terrible. The entire trailer was just terrible. I said, you know, it's definitely different. My brother was like, wow. He's like, that's fucking terrible. I couldn't even watch the whole trailer. I was like, how could you not even watch the whole trailer? I thought it was a great trailer. There was so much stuff going on. He's like, oh, it's corny. And I'm like, dude, he's not ruining the DC universe. I think it's working for him. I think James Gunn has done a great job with the Guardians of the Galaxy stuff. So why can't he do it with Suicide Squad? I think there's a lot of room to grow in this series. I think if these characters continue, we may even get a trilogy. So we have, you know, Suicide Squad that Dave Ayers did, with the James Gunn version. And then maybe if it does well enough, James Gunn will come back and do another one. Because we have reports that James Gunn is done with this after. But that's what he says now, because, of course, he wants to go back and finish his Guardians of the Galaxy movie, of Guardians of the Galaxy 3 or whatever it's going to be called. You know, getting back to John Cena, Peacemaker, I think John Cena is going to do a great job as Peacemaker because, hell, they've already talked about having a spinoff TV show on HBO Max. So clearly they're trusting enough that he's going to be in this movie, do well, the movie's going to do well, that he's going to get his own spinoff series of all the different characters that are going to be there. He's getting his own. So what can you say? We're at least going to get another show spinoff of a Suicide Squad. You know, it's not Harley Quinn. It's not Captain Boomerang and Rick Flag. And of course, Deadshot's gone. But moving on to some other characters who kind of just show up briefly in the trailer. Of course, you see Pete Davidson. His character is Blackguard. Don't know really too much about him. You do see Polka Dot Man. He has, you know, some quick little one-liners. I think he's funny. You see Sean Gunn as Weasel, even though it's really CGI, but I think I don't know if he's going to speak or he's going to be very like, we'll see. You know, maybe he'll be like Rocket, maybe he'll be like Groot, who knows? You have, of course, Ratcatcher, but this time around, Ratcatcher is actually a girl. So she is the Deanna, I can't think of her last name, I'm sorry, but she is the girl who has the long black hair and is talking to Idris Elba's character when they're talking about, oh, I'm going to save you. And then she says, no, I'm going to save you. So that's who that is. It's crazy that they're doing a gender swap for Ratcatcher. But you know what? Who cares? I think it's going to be awesome. You have characters like Javelin is in there. And of course, you have Michael Roker, who's in it. And he plays Savant. And Savant's a character that a lot of people don't know. He was actually introduced in the Birds of Prey series way back in the late 90s, early 2000s. And he actually has a pretty prominent role because it kind of gives you, of course, the origin of the Suicide Squad where they implant the little bomb in the back of their neck. So we'll see how much even screen time he shows. But, you know, James Gunn's record with him, obviously with Guardians of the Galaxy, I think, you know, they may actually get a little bit more on screen than what you're thinking. Who's going to die? I don't know. I think there's a lot of characters that are going to be out real quick, like Javelin, Tila, Mongol. I don't even know. A lot of these characters could be in the beginning of it and then just get their heads blown off, or who knows? But we'll see what happens. That's all I have on the Suicide Squad trailer. I thought it was good. I really thought the Suicide Squad trailer was good. We'll see what happens once we either get another trailer or once it shows up sometime this year. Moving on to the final and last topic of this evening. What are we currently reading? It's not really what we are currently reading. It's what I am currently reading. So what am I currently reading this week? Well, I am actually reading a brand new series that I think everybody should check out. I don't think it's sold out as of yet. I haven't heard a lot of things. Of course, they've said that it's optioned, but the name of the series is called Shadecraft. Now, it's done by Joe Hernandez as the writer, but the reason why I picked it up is because I was really interested in seeing the art style, because I'm a big fan of Lee Garbett. He did one of the covers. He also did the interiors. Now, Lee's a really old school. I mean, he's done a lot of old school stuff, as I'm saying that. I'm really saying in like the early 2000s. But Lee's a great artist. I remember him long time ago on the Batgirl series with Stephanie Brown. Now, I remember him on those Batgirl interiors. That's what really got me into Lee's art. But getting into the actual story of Shadowcraft. Now, of course, like I said, it's only out issue one, so you have a lot of time to go out there and get this. So, of course, you guys know, of course, anytime I talk about a series, if you guys don't know about it, I always like to kind of read you a synopsis of what it is. And this is right off of Image Comics' website of Shadecraft number one. So Zadie Lou is afraid of her own shadow. She's a teenager, so she really should have grown out of it by now, right? But something weird is happening in her small town. Zadie could swear the shadows are coming to life watching her, trying to kill her. But how do you fight something you can't even touch? And how does all of this tie into her family of all things? So, of course, like I said, it's done by Joe Hernandez, who did Skyward, which was an amazing series. And he even said that he was sad that it took so long for this series to come out. I'm guessing because of COVID. Who knows? But again, you have Lee Garbutt doing the interiors, which I said, huge fan of when he did Batgirl. So this first issue, I don't even want to say episode, but it's weird. When I want to talk about podcast, I always say these are issues, but it's really episodes. And when I want to talk about comics and I say episodes, I really want to say issues. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, that's what the problem is when I'm talking, but to myself. So, and to you, everybody out there for listening, thank you. So again, so you have Zadie, main character. She's dealing with a lot of high school stuff because what do high school girls deal with these days? Everything underneath the sun, boys, girls, and shadows that are trying to kill her. So in the beginning, like I said, in the synopsis, she's being hunted and haunted by shadows. And the only way to get rid of a shadow, of course, is bright light. So very interesting enough, she is fighting one in her driveway. And then all of a sudden her mom turns on the light and it goes away. But her mom doesn't know what's really going on. She doesn't want to say anything. She's dealing with her own family issues. So, of course, the majority of the issue is her just in high school. And of course, running from these shadows here and there, always thinking that the shadows are there. That's another thing. Towards the end of the issue, she's dealing with another shadow that comes and finds her. And it's really cool art, the way that she's fighting this shadow. But of course, one of the shadows saves her. And I'll leave it at that. So that's what I'm currently reading this week, guys, is Shadecraft number one, done by Joe Henderson, and the interiors by Garbutt. Highly recommend. Kind of go out and get this. There's two different covers. You get the main Garbutt one. Of course, there is an amazing jock-looking one. And of course, for some reason, there's a blank cover. But I don't know. If you want to go out and get a blank cover and have someone do Zadie right on the front cover fighting some shadows, who knows? I think there are maybe one or two exclusive variants out there as well from exclusive retailers, who knows? But that's what I'm currently reading this week is Shadecraft number one. And that's it, everybody. Episode 13 is in the books. That's all we have for this evening. I am Justin, aka Nemesis Prime, the only host that you heard all night long. Thank you guys so much for supporting the Comic-Con podcast. If you're checking us out, again, make sure you drop us some emails, drop us a voicemail, drop us a direct message. We always want to hear about from people in the community. If you want to come on here, talk about some, even maybe some community drama, because we always like talking about that. Hey, just let us know. But that's it. I'll check you guys later. Enjoy the rest of your day, evening, weekend, whenever you're listening to this. Peace out, everybody.